He's faithful. And so I want to, this morning, talk about something that's very passionate to me. And as you can see by the title, read it for me, Elder Vic. Getting past your past. How many understand what I'm talking about this morning? Getting past your past. Sometimes we don't walk into the future of what God has for us because we're so busy wondering why my past ended up the way it did. And so this week, it's been a very emotional, lengthy, up and down week for me for many reasons. One, because I've been working sun up to sun down. Yes, I took on some more projects. Only because it was too hard to pass up. So now I'm opening two other companies. Because sometimes it's just God will bless you in other ways that you have no idea what he's doing. And so I was praying this week and I was looking at some scriptures and I was thinking about one of the biggest challenges we face is living in what we used to think was our life. And sometimes it's okay to reflect on the past, but you shouldn't live in the past. Come on, somebody. It's okay to say, remember when? That was good times. But sometimes we can live so much in the past that we're not living in where God has us right now. And so this week was a very emotional week because I'll make a public announcement. I'm divorced. My divorce is final. It was emotional for me, to say the least. 24 years of marriage. Over. And some things came to my remembrance. And some things came to, you know, God, why? But then I realized you can't question God. Another thing you can't do is you can't change people. And so, I guess the reason why the Lord has me preaching this is because Pastor Mike's not going to live in his past no more. I'm moving on. I'm moving on to what God has for me. And people say, why would you say publicly? Because I'm not embarrassed about who I am or who I belong to. Come on, somebody. Amen. Just because I'm single now and divorced doesn't mean that I can't do ministry. I am who I am, and I belong to him. And so I want you to understand that when we say getting past your past, it's difficult because sometimes we want to live so much in the past, and I'm kind of going to go through some scriptures today. If some one of you guys jump up and just click that first slide for me, Vic. I forgot to click it. I apologize. We're kind of going to go through these scriptures kind of fast because I want to get to the main text, but I want you to see where it was starting. Now, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Arcea Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of the harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now watch this, church. Verse 2. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your houses, for they have come to search all the country. Now watch this. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I don't know where they are from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out where they men went, I do not know, pursue them quickly for you may overtake them. Now, this story is all about getting over your past, but as we get to the end of the text, it really is about if you serve God, he protects you. And sometimes God don't want you to be reminded of your past, because sometimes the past represents bad things. Doesn't mean you can't remember them, but you need to get delivered from your past. Come on, somebody. Just because one thing is wrong doesn't mean another thing is going to be wrong. Come on, somebody. You have to learn to get over your past in order to receive your future. Come on, church. But she brought them up to the roof and hitting them with the stalks of the flax, which she said laid in order on the roof. Now watch this. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone, they shut the gate. Now watch this. Very interesting part here. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. This is Rahab. And said to them, watch this. This is my main part. I know, someone say, I know. The Lord. See, what you have to understand is, if it's for you, it's for you. I don't care what's happened in your past. If God wants to bless you, he's going to bless you. See, we get so caught up in, Pastor Mike, I can't have a future because of my past. Listen to me, I'm not qualified to be up here this morning if you look at my past. I don't need nothing from the peanut gallery this morning. Elder Ron is not qualified. Oak Cliff, OG, Elder Vic, not qualified in man's eyes. But the Bible says, look what it says, I know the Lord. Someone say, I know the Lord.
I know the Lord
has given you the land. See, God will give you whatever you desire as long as you serve him.
Amen.
And this church, this church is just going to be the beginning of a revival. In about 2 weeks, we're going to have a unified church. House of Hope is coming down here. Are they normal to us? Not our normal? No. They're of a different breed. That's all I can say it. Amen. They'll worship for 10 hours straight and not even worry about it. Us, we got to do an hour and a half and we out. But the Lord spoke to my spirit that Pastor Simon's going to come give a word on the first Sunday. Because it's about culture, and it's about gapping the generations of each other. We all praise the same God. And just because I don't praise him the way you praise him doesn't mean you don't love God like I love God. Church gets so caught up with, if you ain't doing it my way, it's the wrong way. But he said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of your has fallen us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. So he's saying, because of you. Look at this. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea. Now look at their testimony. Is about get people to bringing them to the Lord. So he heard that the Lord had dried up the water. He heard that the Red Sea was parted. And what you did to the two kings of Amorites who were on the other side. Now see, what I want you to understand is everything you're going through in your past is going to be a testimony for the future things of God. Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, if you ain't come out of nothing, you'll never learn nothing. Through this 11 months, 12 months of going through the transition of being single and the new housing situation and dealing with everything, I kept saying, God, how can this be you? How can this be of you? I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. I've had my share of some bad friends, to say the least. How can this be of you? But he kept telling me, but yet I have not forsaken you or left you. He said, you're still here. The church is still here. That means my hand is upon you. And sometimes when we go through stuff in our past, we don't think God has a future for us. But look what it says. On the other side of the Jordan, Shion and Og, whom you utterly have destroyed. Now watch this. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven and above the earth and beneath. In other words, he's saying your past is not going to bring you what God has you. We have to learn that God can change your path. He has an erase button on his computer. But we don't understand that because we think that just because what I've been through doesn't make me qualified. Look at this. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you your kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Now, watch this. Spare my father, spare my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. Look at this. So the man answered her, talking about Rahab, our lives for yours is not one of tell this business of ours and shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Now watch this. Then she let him down by the rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall and she dwelt on the wall. Now watch this. And she had said to them, get to the mountain lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go away. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house. Now watch this. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and he will be guiltless. And whosoever house you are in, his blood shall be our head if a hand is laid upon him. Why am I saying all this? Because it gets to the end of the text. And if you tell this business, then we will be free from your oath, which you've made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, someone say, according to your words. So be it, and sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Now watch this. They departed and went to the mountain, stayed there 3 days, and the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought him along, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen on them. And the final verse, this is where my key text came from. I had to set it up. Their past is about to be erased. And it said to Joshua, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into your hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. You see, guys, we all have a past. We all have something that we're not proud of. We all had something that we had made mistakes. And we all have something that has happened to us. Have y'all noticed on Facebook sometimes, how many Facebook people we have out there, sometimes a memory will pull up on a certain day? Yeah. If it's August 1st, and it's really hard on me because I got a lot of memories pulling up from when I was on a cruise a year ago, and it's about this time we were going on a cruise. And Pastor Greer, and it's called a Facebook memory. And somehow, based upon the date, they'll have a memory that'll automatically show up on your Facebook. And it's a remembrance. Watch this. It's a remembrance of your past. If you posted it, yeah. So if I posted I was going on a cruise and had one the other day, Pastor Greer, when he gave us those gifts, it was about the same time we were going on that cruise. And I posted on Facebook. And Elder Ron sent it to me. And I was thinking about it. It's the past, but it's not the present. My God. Oh, I hope you got that, Vic. Someone say, it's the past, but it's not the present. The present is where you are now and what you're going to do with what God has given you. Let me say that again. It's nice to have a past, but it should never dictate your present. The other day, I had the great honor of going to visit a patient, and beginning of their hospice service, they didn't want chaplain because they had a pastor and they had people come by the church and they didn't feel they needed a chaplain, so I hadn't gone. But last week they called me and they said, Pastor Mike, we feel like we want you to come because my husband is transitioning and he's going into that what we call the 12th hour. For those of you in hospice, the 12th hour is they get on continuous care and they're transitioning. They're going towards that calling of God. And so she called me and I went over there and we had church, is all I can say. And the Holy Spirit had led me to play that song by Reverend Jones, I Won't Complain. I've had some good times. I've had some heels. And we were just having church. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit. And I looked at the patient's wife and I said, and she said, "Pastor Mike, I don't know why the Lord's allowing me to go through this. And our past was always exciting. And he was an energetic man, but now he just lays there and he can't do nothing. He can't talk." And I told her, I said, "Even though he's going, you're growing." Let me say that again. "Even though he's going, you're growing." And she just started getting really crazy. She's like, "Oh my God, what do you mean?" I said, "You're growing in faith to trust God through this, because you just said you never thought you would face this." I said, "Through your husband's illness, God is growing your faith." Y'all ain't saying nothing. And I said, "Even though he's going, you're growing." And she looked at me and she said, "I have one regret." I said, "What's the regret?" I said, she goes, "I wish I would have had you come sooner." So now I'm like twice a month, and even this week I got to go visit again. And so she said, I didn't know if I wanted you to come because, you know, all this stuff. And then we began to reflect on their past, and he was an elder of the church, and he used to do gospel tracts, and he used to do all this other stuff, and we began to reflect on the past. And I told her, I said, "It's good to have a past, but it doesn't dictate your future. We all have something that we've done in our past, but you have to learn to get over your past." And that's what Joshua said. It says that even though these guys were running and going through some things, and they had to give up their past because God, look what it says, God had future land for them. Someone say future plans. See, we have to learn that our past, although yet we learn from it, doesn't dictate. Listen to me, God can change stuff on a dime, church. Someone say his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I've learned that when you obey God, he'll bless you. We all have things in our past that we're ashamed of. You ever said something and you saw it coming out and you know you said it anyways, but like wish you can get it back? Huh? Yeah. You ever done something? Church, like, man, I made it. Look, let me tell you something. I don't need nothing from the penny gallery, but this brother right here, I make mistakes all the time. Amen, Vic. But I'm not perfect. But we have to come into a place, church, watch this. We have to come into a place in our life that even though we made mistakes, Anna, even though we're not totally without fault, God is faultless. And once we understand that, God is faithful. So I was looking at this the other day, and I was on Facebook, and one of those memories popped up. And it kind of drew me back for a moment. And I asked myself a question, God, why are you allowing me to see my past? I'm trying to go for my future. He said, because each one of us have a past. Even though your past is not what it is now, you have to learn from your past. You have to learn not to make the same mistakes, my God, that you did in the past. And so sometimes, if we will want to be willing to learn from our mistakes, then we'll have a better future. Look at this. What's the big idea? Someone say, what's the big idea? Read that, somebody. Anybody, just read it. I will only move on onward. Someone say onward. From the shame of my past when I am tied to the rope of God's rescue. In other words, people change, God does not. You can't force people to be who you want them to be. Church, you can't. People will be people. They will act the way they want to act. They will be who they want to be. And as much as you want to change them, they will never change who you want them to be. The only person you need to worry about is you. Because guess what? There's enough problems. Come on, church. There's enough problems. Huh? There's enough problems. Who said it? That rapper. What do you say? More money, more problems. Biggie said that. Was it Biggie that said it, Vic? Yep. More money, more problems. Listen to me. Give me the money. I'll figure out the problems. What I'm trying to say is we will only move forward past the shame of our past when we tie ourselves to God. Listen to me. God don't judge you. Why should you listen to people? God judges our actions. Let me get this straight. He judges our actions, but he doesn't judge who we are. If you sin, he judges sin. Come on, somebody. If you make a mistake, he'll judge it. But as a person, he will never judge you. Because that's what salvation is. But we need to tie ourselves to the rope of God's rescue. Listen to me. I think it's crazy how we'll get in such an argument over how to pronounce something. Someone says tomato, I say tomato. It's still the same thing. Someone said the glass is half full, I say it's half empty. No, it's not, Pastor Mike! Right? Right? You ever got into a fight over the light being left on? Yep. Didn't fill the toilet paper up? The trash is overflowing, and you're balancing that cup on there because you don't want to take the trash out. We fight over the littlest things. Yeah, but really, all it's because, listen to me, nobody's perfect. But what God is saying is we have to get past our past. We have to allow, watch this, church, we have to allow God's grace and his mercy and his absolute love for us to get us past our past. The only person that can judge us today is God. It's difficult at times, watch this, church, it's difficult at times to believe that God is doing something in your life when you don't see no change. How can God be doing something in my life when I'm still going through the same thing? Listen to me. It's okay if you're going through it, but eventually things will change if your faith stays connected to God. Come on, somebody. People tell me all the time, how do you keep going into church? Nobody comes. I said, there's plenty of people there. They're just not here yet. Come on, somebody. Whether they're online, our online presence is growing. Thank God for that. But now we got to focus on getting them back into the church. We have to understand, listen to me, and those online, that's a cue, come to church. We have to understand that our onward from our shame of our past, and we have to stay connected to God. Look at this. Onward from the shame in our past. What does that mean? Listen to me, man will tell you you're going to fail every time, Vic. Man will tell you that you're going to fail. In verse 1 through 8, he talks about that. Man will tell you that you're not worthy of it. But God tells me that my past does not dictate who my future is. We're not the sum of our mistakes. I've heard that before. Okay? Let me just tell you how God has worked in my life this week. I had a job opportunity for a full-time job. Okay? Finally, full-time, benefits, health, 401, the whole nine yards, right? So I go to the interview. Interview went well. They want my 23 years experience. Then they hadn't called me for a few days. All of a sudden they called me on Friday, this past Friday. Or was it Friday? Thursday, I can't remember. Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember. Thursday, yes. And they said, well, Pastor Mike, we really want you. However, there's some concerns we have. I said, what's the concerns? They said, well, our lead chaplain has only been a chaplain for about a year, but she has some questions for you. So we got on a Teams meeting, and they asked me, they said, so we have a couple things we're concerned about. I said, what's your concern? He said, first of all, we think you have too much experience. Okay, well, I can't take away 22 years of hospice, but anyways. They said, well, I don't want to mention no names, but the lead chaplain wanted to talk to you, and she asked me a couple questions. She said, first of all, what name do you pray in? I said, the name of Jesus. She said, that's not going to work. Mm. What do you mean? well, we have to be universal. We have to use just God. Kind of drew me back a little bit, Vic. Then I said, okay. She goes, well, I'm Buddhist. I said, okay. Okay, I'm Mike. How are you? She said, no, what I'm trying to tell you is we cannot make sure that you don't use the name of Jesus. I was like, I'm checking my spirit. It's going to be a problem for me. It's going to be a major problem for me. And she says, well, also, there's some beliefs I want you to adhere to. I said, what are those beliefs? She says, you have to understand that everyone is going to heaven. I said, that's true. But not everybody gets to stay. There's a judgment seat of Christ. Anyways, to make a long story short, they didn't want to pay me what I wanted, and they came back with another $10,000 offer. And then finally, in my spirit, I was like, Lord, this is not for you. Oh, yeah. And then one of the other things they asked me, they said, why do people call you Pastor Mike? I said, because that's who I am. She goes, well, when you work here, you will not be Pastor Mike. You will be chaplain. We're not putting no titles on anybody. Check. So I said, I will gladly, humbly decline your offer. Because it's not going to be a fit. And I'm like, Lord, I could have dealt with what they were going to give me, but I just, other stuff. But Lord, all of a sudden I get a call, like a day later, from this stranger. They said, I need to speak with Pastor Mike Morris. I said, this is him. They said, hey, we're starting up two other companies. I was like, Lord Jesus, I don't need this no more. He said, well, would you help us get through survey? He said, we open and close hospice companies, about 3-4 hospice companies a year, and we're a consulting firm. I said, look, I've done consulting. I'm tired. He goes, just come down and talk to us. So I went to Farmers Branch, okay? Went to Farmers Branch. Talked to them, and they open up 2-3 hospices a year. And for some of you that don't know, companies open hospice companies, and once they get them up and running, some people buy the hospice companies with the license and everything and basically get them up and running because they don't want to go through survey. They don't want to go through all the, it's a mess, right, Ron? It's a mess. So this company is a consultant, and he says, well, we used to have a guy that did it for us, but he's retiring and he's going back to India. He goes, would you be interested in partnering with us? I was like, what do you mean? Anyways, make a long story short, I said, okay. I prayed about it. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So I opened up 2 more companies for them. He said, we're going to pay you the per diem, which means when I go visit a patient, I'll get an assessment fee, and then I'll get a visit fee. What's really cool is I only got to see them like one time, and they're going to sell the license. So it's just going to be like flipping houses, except it's hospice companies. He said, well, welcome aboard. We'll get these 2 open, and a couple months down the road, we'll see where we're at. But because I really want you to be a consultant for us, because you can keep your full-time job. I said, if I had a full-time, I said, I got 5 other companies. He goes, that's fine, Pastor Mike. We don't want to overwhelm you. He said, we want to have 3 patients for one company, 3 for another, and when they're licensed, then we will sell the license, and then if we will open up some more. He goes, I said, yeah. So anyways, I'm just filling the paperwork out, doing everything right. And then I leave. And before I left, because I need your phone number. I said, for what? I just need your phone number. I'm gonna do something for you. I get to the parking lot. There's a text. He Zelled me a consultation fee already. Don't have a patient yet. He paid me for each company. You were on the phone with me. And I had to get off the phone because I had to call the guy back. I said, hey, this is Pastor Mike. He goes, no. That's just your consulting fee. We're going to pay you to see patients. I said, but I ain't done nothing. He goes, you filled out the license and you used your credential. He goes, this is a blessing to you. Amen. Come on, somebody. So I declined the full time because it wasn't for me. But God, but somebody say, but God. Already had a ram in the bush. And then here's the blessing part. If I find somebody to buy one of the companies or either of the companies, if they sell the company and get a buyer and it's a recommendation of mine or attached to me, my consultation fee is $25,000. Wow. I get 25 grand. Anybody want to buy a hospice company? But what I'm trying to tell you is, don't ever think about your past, because God has a blessed future for you. I'm at the place now where I was telling Kim and even Josh, I probably will never work full time again, because I'm trying to grow the ministry. I'm able to, and I'm going to tell you, I am pushing patience to Ron like crazy. I got some two more giving you tomorrow, by the way. But anyways, I'm able to do all of this and be blessed by it, because God is rewarding me, come on somebody, for the past that I've been through. Come on somebody. This past year's not been fun. It's been, I can't even write the story, church. But in the midst of my struggle, come on, in the midst of my challenge, in the midst of what I'm going through in my past, I'm still praising Him and magnifying Him, and I'm not quitting what we still have done, the Center of Hope. We're still having church, and not one time have you all heard Pastor Mike say, I can't come to church, I'm not up to it. Why? Number two, onward by faith is my, what? Present. Onward by faith in my present, which meaning what I'm doing now is what God wants me to do. What you're doing now is what God wants you to do. The enemy wants to get you out of his purpose. He wants to tell you, because of your past, you're not worthy of this. In about 2 weeks, we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival in this church. Brother Abraham's coming to do live worship. Pastor Simon Otawadawana, I don't even know how you say it. Let's just call him Pastor Simon. What is that? Alatuquina? I don't even know how to say it, bro. Tunja, I don't know, but the boy can preach.
Amen.
It's going to be a holy. Listen to me. I know you're online, but if you don't miss, I know you missed, but I'm telling you, do not miss the combination of two churches coming together. Okay? They're going to come over here, his entire church. We're going to have some worship. He told me, he said, Pastor Mike, however you lead the service is fine. We're just here to serve, and we're going to allow this man to preach the word. We're going to have First Sunday Fellowship. Brother Abraham will be here to do worship. Food, everything. We're just going to have a Holy Ghost knockdown revival that day. Okay? But because the present, someone say the present, is at hand. You know, they're trying to still yoke us with everything, but God is saying it's now time to walk into your future. Listen to me. If we allow our past to dictate our future, here it is. If we allow our past to dictate the future, we will never receive what God has for us now. Someone once asked me, how do you get over your past? I simply told them, get over it. It's not a science. Listen to me, we could sit all day trying to change what we can't change. Could I have done things different in my marriage? Could I have done things different in the church? I don't know, probably. But what does it matter? We're here. Someone say, we're here now. There's a song, right, Vic? Started from the bottom, now we here.
Yep.
Right? Like, seriously, I know it ain't proper, but yeah, I'm not proper, amen?
No.
I was so excited, y'all. I got to say this. I was so excited to watch football for real last night. I was so excited that my Broncos beat the Cowboys. I don't care if it's preseason, but they made the Cowboys look bad. They look pretty good in preseason, the Broncos, didn't they, Vic? We got us a backup quarterback, too. Y'all ain't got one, though. Y'all better find a quarterback, a backup. So we have to move onward by faith in my present. By the way, that's a reminder. We're going to have a kind of an extra First Sunday fellowship. That first Sunday, I want to mention for those online, that first Sunday, whether it's a football weekend or not, but if it's not a first Sunday when football, it should be first Sunday, but if, anyways, wear your jerseys. We're going to have some extra food. We're going to have some other stuff. It's going to be NFL, we always do it every year, NFL kickoff Sunday. You're allowed to wear every jersey but the Cowboys. That's the rule. I'll be sporting. I'm going to get me a Russell Wilson jersey. Amen. I'm cool with that, bro. Amen. It's these cowboy folks that didn't even realize they don't have a team. But anyways, so we're going to do First Sunday Fellowship with the kicking off the NFL. It might be Pastor Simon's day. Is that when football starts, Vic? Is that the first Sunday of the NFL? Well, he'll probably wear a suit, but I'm not. I'll be back there anyways on the board. I'm just wearing my Russell Wilson jersey. But anyways, onward by faith in my present. Okay? Number three. Read that, Elder Ron. Onward in hope for our future. That is so important. If we never understand that we have a future, watch this. Let me get to my note. If we never understand we have a future, we will never embrace what God has for us. If we don't understand that you know, God gives us a hope and a future. Someone say it's a temporary setback for a setup. Okay? A temporary setback, watch this, Anna, for a setup for God. You cannot think that this is all it is for me. If you get away from your past, listen to me, if I believed that my past was my past, I wouldn't be up here preaching today. I've been through a lot of things in my life. A lot of things. Two marriages. Wow. Both ended the same way. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not going to get married again. I don't know. I don't know who can put up with me. She's already married. Amen. And trust me, you can have that. I couldn't handle her. Where you at? Why did you spend a dollar? Because I bought a lottery ticket. No, just joking. Pastor! Well, I got to tell y'all something about Bonita, y'all. I love her as a member of the church, and she does a lot for me in the ministry. That day that I was seeing Pastor Greer, the man was transitioning. And we go down to the parking garage. And I didn't have any cash on me. And it was $3. We're going to have this story again because I got to call you out. I'll never forget the day. Elder Ron said, I got $3, Pastor. I said, good. So we put the $3 in and drove off. Dude freaked out. He said, no, don't leave. I said, what happened? He goes, I got to get the receipt. I said, for what? He goes, Pastor, I just took out my last $3, and if I go home without that $3 and not a receipt, I'll be sleeping up in the doghouse. I said, what? He goes, I need that receipt, Pastor. I need that receipt. I said, for what? He goes, for Bonita. I was like, are you serious? So he pulled back, got the receipt, and Ron was like, he won the lot. Oh, thank God. That's why I couldn't. No, I love her, but no. Yeah, organization. One day, Bonita went and did something for me, and, you know, like, I forgot what she, I just told her to get something because I was busy or whatever, and I totally spaced it out, forgot to sell all their money, right? It wasn't on purpose. I just, you know, I'm busy, right? All of a sudden, I get a text. Hello? Did you forget something? I looked at my phone. I said, what'd I forget? She goes, Pastor, you didn't sell me the money for what I bought. Oh, I'm sorry. She remembers everything. Yes, she does. Believe me. Someone say, onward in hope. For our future. What I want you to understand is we all have an opportunity to future. This is some of the things I wrote down. You can write this down. I don't have them on the board, but I just wrote some things down. And one of the things is this. You can write them down if you want and put them in your phone. One. What are you asking God for? Number one, what are you asking God for? That's a hope. That's a future. Number two, what are you expecting God for? You can ask for anything, but what do you expect? That's good stuff, right? Number three, is it His will? You're going to be in the future, you're going to be in the hope. What are you expecting? What do you want? But is it in His will? Number four, never sell yourself short. Someone say never sell yourself short. In other words, understand your value. Understand your worth. And number five, I think is most importantly, does it line up with his word? Does it line up with his word? You know, I'm a planner. I like to plan trips. I like to plan vacations. I like to know where I'm at financially. I mean, I'm not as bad as Benita at times, but there's times and, you know, like I'm a person like, because I've been took so many, like I've had like someone hit my account a lot and I've had identity theft. Like I'm a person like when I go buy something, I immediately get on my app and check to make sure that's what I got charged. Because not because, and Josh is like this morning, right? Like he wanted a donut this morning. So I let him have my card and he go get a donut. And as soon as he got in, he goes, I had to check my app, my BOA app to make sure that's what was spent. And I know he's like, man, like, and it's not that, I just don't trust people, y'all. Okay. I'm telling you, I've been hit a lot of times. And I got to know where I'm at. And, you know, when I plan for vacations and I'm going, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to New York in about 3.5 weeks. Thank you, Jesus. Don't call me. I'll call you. Amen. I think it's going to be Elder Vic or Ron. Probably it's Elder Vic's turn because Pastor Simon. So you got it, right? That Sunday that I'm gone. But anyway, so I've been planning for this trip and, you know, planning on my biggest expense is my boys. When you got five dogs, I could go on a vacation anytime I want, but I got a plan for about a $900 to $1,000 hit to keep them jokers in the pet resort. And so I'm planning all this money and I'm putting all this money aside and I just can't go on vacation because I got to worry about five. Okay? And so I'm planning and getting ready to go and going to have a good time in New York. Me and Josh are going to go to New York City. We're going to get a real hot dog. We're going to get a real pizza. Yeah, and so we're just going to have a day in New York City. It's going to be fun. And I was planning on this and thinking about some things, and it just kind of weird for me because now when I used to travel, as you know, Vic, I would travel with who? This would be like my first trip alone. You know what I mean? And I'm going to embrace it. Let me tell you why I'm going to embrace it, because God wants to give me a hope and a future. He don't want me to quit living just because my present doesn't look like my past. Come on, somebody. And I'm telling you, God has blessings for you lined up in your future, guys. If you will just embrace what God has. That's why I talk about this church. I told Elder Ron, I told Elder Vic, as soon as we get through this, gets cooler weather after September, you know, getting towards the October when we have the Halloween or alternative, whatever, we'll have an outreach and we'll get people to know about this ministry and stuff, and we'll do some stuff like that. But one thing I want you to understand, and this is what I was thinking about as I get to the end of this thing. We ourselves have to get over our past. You know who disqualifies you from the future? Not the devil. Not God. It's self-doubt. You know, and people say, well, you know, well, this is being blocked. It's not being blocked because you allow it. The Bible says, I will make a way when there seems to be no way. I will make a way when there seems to be no way. And so we have to understand that God wants to give us a future and a hope. And here the whole story of Joshua was about those guys that were running from their past. But God wanted them to get the land of the future. Were they disobedient? Yes. Finally, when God got their attention, when God finally got their attention, that's what the whole story, this whole book of Joshua is about. When God finally got their attention, he gave them the hope of the land that they wanted. Y'all know the story of Joshua. He took over for who? That's right. He was the next in line to lead the children of Israel out. Look at your neighbor and say, it ends with one, but begins with another. Come on, somebody. Someone asked me one time, he said, you know, you can kill the messenger or you can kill the message, but you can't kill the messenger. Onward in hope for our future. Our future is only as good as we believe it. If we don't believe this church is going to be big, it never will. If we don't begin to reach out to people and tell them how good God is, it'll never get to where we're going. Someone asked me a question one time. They said, Pastor Mike, what is your future? What is your hope for the future? My hope for the future is that God continues to use me in a mighty and powerful way. When I had church the other day with that family, we had church. And immediately after that, I went and saw another new admit for Envoy Hospice. And Elder Ron will tell you, you don't even have a clue what your pastor's running. I did 4 GIP admissions. Let me explain that to you. A GIP means they're going to pass within 24 to 48 hours. I've ran to Methodist 4 times this week. As soon as I go to the assessment, 4 or 5 hours later, the patient's already dead. But I have to run over there to do the assessment because it's a GIP. I've been to Methodist 4 times this week. Been to Hotham City, North Richland Hills, Plano, Kaufman, Waxahachie, your area, not because of just for another company, Farmers Branch, Dallas, North Fort Worth, Red Oak. My God, where else have I been? So many places I can't even remember. And through that, God is using me to give people a hope and a future. It's a vessel. So your past, look at me. The reason why I want to bring this up, because God don't see my past. God sees who I am now. Your faithfulness is something to God. I feel this thing, church. Your faithfulness, he sees. He sees your faithfulness, and when he sees your faithfulness, he knows he's going to bless you. What is the likelihood that I denounced one company, and then the next day, Victor, God brought this to me? I'm like, I called Kim, my friend. I was like, can you believe this? And of course, you know, she's like Bonita. She's always got something to say. She said, well, when you're in God's will and you didn't take that other job, this is God blessing you. I'm like, okay, am I talking to Bonita right now? Because Don would have too. What I'm trying to say is this. I wish I had a pair of sunglasses. Because I'd put them on and say, my future's so bright, I got to wear shades. Come on, that's a good, give God some praise for that, amen. My future is so bright. Okay. Someone saying, my future is so bright,
and the raven.
I got to wear shades. What I'm saying is, someone's going to Facebook that anyways. Hashtag crazy pastor. That's going to be a good t-shirt. Anyways, with the shades. Look, guys. We have to know that we have a future. We have to know that our past does not tell us who we are. You know, I think about our relationship with Victor. Elder Vic, you know, I know I was dogmatic about getting him in the church, and I know I was dogmatic about every Friday, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. But what he don't know is I saw something in him in glow. Because one thing I tell you about these two blessed people of God, when they love you, they love you. They're not fake. They'll tell you like it is. Sometimes you don't want to hear, especially glow. It's the truth. Her and Bonita are related in the spirit, I guess. But I love that about Glow. Because when I called Glow through my stuff, what I wanted to hear is not what she goes, well, you know, Pastor Mike, some of this is your fault too. She said, we told you and you wouldn't listen. I said, okay, Glow, I'm not trying to hear that right now. Where's Victor at? Put my buddy on the phone. But what I love about them is they're real. And they're good people. And they love me. I mean, they love me for me. See, it was a lifelong friendship that we met at South Grand Prairie. Because I know in a moment I could call Victor and my brother would be there for me. I know in a moment I could call Glow and she would be there for me. Because God has a future for all of us. He has an opportunity to see this thing grow to what he wants it to be. And I know some of the players have changed. My God, Victor. I know some of the players have changed. But do you think that this team is not going to play the game just because we have different players? Head coaches get fired all the time in the NFL because they're not doing their job. As I close and transition, just a moment, Victor, I have a new ending. You'll see it on the board. But I love watching ESPN, A Football Life. Yesterday was about Mike Singletary. Some of you don't know, but I actually know Mike Singletary personally because his grandmother was on hospice. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's from the Dallas area. Did y'all know that? He's from the Dallas area. Yep, Baylor. But in Dallas area, he went to Lincoln High School. And so they had this whole football life about him. And one of the things that they said at the end, Mike Singletary was a hard-nosed guy. Like, he actually kicked off one of the best players for the 49ers because he wouldn't do what he told him to do and sent him to the lockers at halftime. And part of that show yesterday was they asked Mike Singletary, they said, why did you do that to one of your best players? This guy's making millions of dollars. You sent him to the locker room because he didn't want to listen to me. I don't care how much money he has. He's going to do what I tell him to do, or he's not going to play on my team. Well, they became pretty successful, the 49ers. Well, guess what? As they start losing, his style of coaching, as the NFL evolved, you can't talk to these players any kind of way because they become babies. Yep. Call it what it is. You can't hit nobody no more. It's almost flag football now. And Mike Singletary, with his hard nose, his style of coaching faded away because there used to be coaches back then that were hard-nosed. Mike Ditka. From Mike Singletary. And now these coaches today, you got to be more like the Rams coach. What's his name, Josh? The young guy.
Sean McVay.
Come on, guys. Kind of like Coach Whitson. We're going to a Coach Whitson type of coaching. Come on, guys. We can do it. Come on, guys. Good job, guys. Jason Garrett, I think we're going to have a great season, and these guys are going to get together, and we're going to be the team that we're going to be. No. So they fired Mike Singletary for his coaching style. And he said something that stuck with me as I close. He said, sometimes they'll hire you for what they wanted, but also fire you for what they wanted. In other words, Mike Singletary said, I will never change who God created me to be. He said this in this, the football life of Mike Singletary. He said, however, I've learned to adjust as I close. I learned to adjust in whatever field I'm playing. Because Paul said, I've learned to live with and I've learned to live without. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, church, I'm ready, Vic. Today, church, God is showing us something. He's showing us that we have to get over our past. We have to let go of what we thought was going to happen. If you ever want a future, today is the day to embrace what he has for you. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be what you want. It's not going to be everything laid out the way you thought it was going to be. But there's one thing I do know. That God is still sitting on the throne. And as long as he's sitting on that throne, I can call upon him. And I can ask him in my time of need. I'm going to have my prayer partners come. And they're going to pray for you. If you have a need this morning, come on, guys. If you have a need this morning, we're doing something a little bit different in this church. I usually have the worship team come up. And we'll do a closing song. But God told me we need to get prayer back into the church. Maybe you need to pray for somebody else. Maybe you need intercession for somebody. Maybe you have a loved one that's going through something. Maybe you have a friend that you need to pray for. Maybe you need to pray for a breakthrough. Maybe you need to pray for a financial breakthrough. If you're online this morning, I want you to get online and chat whatever your prayer request is need. We'll call it out. But God is saying that the hour is now. We can't waste this opportunity. We need to move forward from our past. We need to move forward from our past. Embrace what God is doing in our lives. And the greatest scripture I love is Psalms 46:10. It says to be still and know that I am God. If you need something this morning, I encourage you to come to the prayer partners and let them pray for you.